Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA show.
What was the biggest NBA story this weekend? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Holiday sets it up in the half court, guarded by Beverly. You want to get a shot here, no turnover. Giannis goes low to Holiday, out to the corner. Middleton, downhill drive. Giannis to the rim, slam it! Bucks lead by three.
Left side, Markieff Morris. One-on-one against Damian Lee, throws it to a cutting LeBron. Look out, down the middle, up and in. LeBron's got 12 points in 13 minutes, and the Lakers back up by 20.
This was going to be a really hard game, especially the way they're playing and them being pretty full without Ish, but pretty full otherwise. And, I'm really happy with our guys because there was plenty of opportunities to fold there, and they just stayed with it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So what you had there is a couple of highlights, and then Brad Stevens. And when it comes to last night's action, I actually thought the biggest outcome was the Milwaukee Bucks last night. I thought the Bucks finding a way to go on that run at the end of the game to defeat the Clippers the way that they did was the biggest outcome from yesterday's games. That was Bucks radio and that huge tomahawk slam by Giannis. That was Lakers radio with the Lakers getting a blowout victory over the Warriors. And then Brad Stevens following their victory with a crazy comeback in the final couple of seconds against the Wizards, who just completely butchered the end of their own game. But I thought the Bucks were the biggest story. Here's why. The Celtics needed to feel good. And the Celtics have started to, the last couple of games, last two games in particular, at least closed games. But the Celtics needed a brutal turnover in the very end of the game, the final 10 seconds of the game, by the Wizards. And yeah, they trapped well defensively, but the Wizards stepping on the end line and not getting to the foul call is just not something you can count on, and it's also the Wizards. And so, to me, it's fine, but it's not the biggest. As for the Lakers, as I said before, I think for the Lakers, without AD, I'm not sure how much you can judge whatever the Lakers do, good and bad. No matter if the Lakers are even losing in a big way, getting blown out in a big way, I'm not all that concerned because I can only define the Lakers by when Anthony Davis plays. That's it. Simple as that. And last night, yeah, it's a statement that they can beat a good team like the Warriors without AD too, but it's really all about when they have Anthony Davis. So it's a little unfair to say, well, we can't count what they do when they lose, but we have to count a lot what they do when they win without AD. I think most importantly, the Bucks have been scrapping all season long trying to figure out the end of games. They've been trying to figure out how to get back to defensively where they were last year and the year prior. And the way that they were able to shut down the Clippers at the end of that game yesterday to get the victory and to get that comeback and hit their free throws, get some big buckets, and then hold Paul George and Kawhi Leonard scoreless late was the biggest outcome. The Bucks obviously are trying to replicate what they did the last 2 years in the regular season, but be better in the postseason. Good victory by the Bucks and a statement jam by Giannis to clean it up.
If you go back to last year's Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, and NBA Finals, you're talking about basically a 6 to 8 week turnaround, then it's back playing meaningful basketball games again. You could only imagine these guys were a little winded, exhausted, without much of a break, and would like an all-star break before they get back into the stretch run of this season. That's what's crazy. It doesn't feel like we've played a lot of basketball yet, and yet we're into March, which is normally now the stretch run before the NBA playoffs. So we're already kind of late in the season for a 72-game season, which they will attempt to play, not a full 82-game season. Now, LeBron hasn't missed time, but LeBron is LeBron, and you can understand him or anybody else looking for a bit of a breather during All-Star Weekend. Also, number two, from a safety standpoint, you're trying to be uber careful with all of these players, all of these teams, trying to keep everybody healthy and negative and playing all of the games that you need played, bringing players from all parts of the country and all locker rooms into one place to play a game and then have them fly away again feels a little unnecessary. Let's face it. It feels a little unnecessary. So the players have not wanted this, and before the season began, Adam Silver and the owners had agreed, we will not play the All-Star game. We'll give you that break. And instead, the owners of the league pivoted. And they said, now we're going to play the All-Star game. Well, you have all of these different reasons in play, but I think the biggest thing, obviously, is ultimately the bottom line, which it almost always is. And we had Jared Greenberg join us here on the show recently, and I had asked him about this because Jared works for the NBA on TNT. He is based out of Atlanta, where the Turner Studios are. And I had said, okay, let's talk about this. What is the underlying biggest reason for Adam Silver to upset his players? Because let's face it, Silver has not been that type of guy. He has been a commissioner that's always been players first, and it has really helped him in negotiations, helped him with the players, helped him get them to do things that the league wanted and that he requested. So why would he pivot on something he promised the players before the season? Here is the NBA on TNT's Jared Greenberg.
The reason why they're playing on a Tuesday night in February is because we're a business, right? And it's about making money, which is it's hard to hear. It's unfortunate to talk about. But the bottom line is that's why we're playing basketball. And the All-Star game is one of the biggest revenue-generating events of the year. And in terms of people watching, historically, it's been the third highest-rated event of the year for the NBA on television, only behind the NBA Finals and the Conference Finals.
Wow.
So if you're going to play on a random Tuesday night in February, a regular season game, then why wouldn't you want to play something that's going to actually be more significant towards your business, which is the All-Star game?
So that's an interesting take by Jared Greenberg, who is obviously within the Turner walls and understands the power of what the broadcast is, the power of the TV ratings, the power of the exposure, that behind the NBA Finals or the Conference Finals, even beyond the second round of the playoffs, beyond opening night, beyond Christmas, the All-Star game, even though it's just an exhibition where little defense is played, and they've had to totally reconnect and restructure the rules of engagement within that, it's that popular. And Adam Silver also, over the weekend, tipped his hand on why exactly they play. Because of the global exposure, you're thinking, well, you can't have fans in the building, really. And you can't have fans around the parties. And you can't have the ticketed events and the promotional items and all these meet and greets and all these companies and corporate figures and CEOs and marketing come through and connect with the players of the league and do all these events and all of these kind of fan frenzy type things. Well, then why? If you can't do any of that, why? And the deal is, I think number one, Turner wanted the content because, as you just heard Jared say, it's one of their highest rated events of the season. They wanted the All-Star game because it rates well. No matter if there's fans in there, no matter if there's anybody allowed to the city of Atlanta or not. And two, Adam Silver was talking about that in terms of global impressions, a lot of their audience that lives in China or Europe or Africa or anywhere else globally doesn't consume the game in person, consumes the game on social media, consumes the game over the TV. And so having the All-Star game so they can watch it on their version of Twitter or their version of their phone app, where they can watch the highlights on their version of social media, whatever that is, so that they can watch on their cable provider, their television. The simple fact that they can see LeBron play against Giannis, Kevin Durant, Luka, you know, choose your superstars that other countries and places are locked into. The simple fact that they can see that the All-Star game is enough to make this happen. And to me, it just goes to show you that the NBA, which has kind of always been player forward, in this case, said, we're not going to do that. This is about business relationships, first and foremost. This is about the television network, Turner. And this is about our global fan base. And they don't care if we don't have fans in the building. They don't care that we don't have parties for the fans to show up to. They're not coming anyway. They're sitting in their home thousands, hundreds of thousands of miles away or what have you. And they are just going to consume this totally from a phone standpoint or from a TV standpoint, a digital or electronic standpoint. And we don't care how it gets off. It's just got to get off. And so it's a little disappointing because the league has been protective of its relationship with the players. But in this case, it just pales in comparison to the money and to the global outreach. And I think that the players could go along with it and the Players Association agreed to it because they realized there's been a dip in the revenue, dip in the funds because of last year losing what they lost and losing the fans and attendance figures and revenue from in-person game watching. And if they want their salaries to stay sky high and they want the piece of the revenue to remain where it is for the players, then they've got to acquiesce to things like this. And I do think that Turner played a very huge role in having this because it's being played in Atlanta, where Turner's home is. You know, if the cable company, if the television partner, which is so huge, and you have inside the NBA and Barkley and Kenny and Shaq and Ernie, and the type of impact they have on presenting the game, if Turner wasn't all that interested in it, this is not happening. But because Turner was all in, and they said, we'll do it in our hometown because we can control a lot of the uncontrollable other places, the NBA went along with it. I mean, Mraz, I kind of feel like after we heard what Jared told us and hearing what Adam Silver said the other day and him admitting, this we're having it in Atlanta because of Turner, wasn't supposed to be in Atlanta, tells me that the television network had a huge role in pushing this thing forward.
Yeah, no question, especially when the mayor of the city in which you're having the game basically couldn't take the fact that you were having the game and had to urge people not to come in to think they wanted to party there. That just shows how powerful you are as a TV entity and to have that. And I just was talking with Bogish at the end of the hour when we were talking about missing spring football and everything that's coming up this weekend. It's crazy to me just that there are that many fans out there salivating and chomping at the bit to watch this thing on Sunday night. We'll watch it because it's part of our job, and I'm sure we'll lead with it next Monday morning. But, I mean, are our listeners that excited about this All-Star game on Sunday night and basically the dunk contest at halftime? Is this something that we're actually excited for, or is it just inventory that's the only game we're getting from the NBA that weekend? So if you're an NBA fan, that's all you got, so everybody watches that game.
Well, like, okay, so I would take the other tact. Yeah. Why do you think that fans would not be interested in it because there's no fans in attendance?
No. I guess my point would be we've just had this truncated. We're getting game upon game after game. You're not getting much load management with any of these superstars. There's so many games on national TV. I know there are anyway, but it just feels like this is a way more condensed and rushed NBA schedule. We also had NBA all the way through October, a very short break. Now I've had the NBA hit us in waves here after football. I guess my point would be, I think fans are probably interested in Sunday night because that'll be the only game for 5 days will be that All-Star game, and less about that we're actually excited to watch All-Stars play All-Stars. You know what I mean?
I think the people that really like the All-Star game because they get to see all the stars in one place will like it anyway. I think probably what you're talking about is the hardcore fans that want to see the big matchups. They want to see how the teams look. They want to be able to gauge how the players look, etc., and digest real action. Always look at the All-Star game as unnecessary. Yeah. Always look at the All-Star game as almost an annoyance. I mean, how many years have we bellyached about no defense and, you know, how it's just kind of an exhibition in getting your dunks off and to try to get your MVP votes, etc., like that. But I think for the people that really like the All-Star game, they just want it all. And I can kind of understand, even if there's no fans, I can kind of understand it because don't you feel like you just savor what used to be so much more that even if it kind of looks different, at least it's there, kind of like the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Even though the fans were barely in attendance, only, what, 20,000 people or something like that, and even though the season clearly wasn't normal, the fact that we just had a Super Bowl, the fact that there were two teams playing in that game and there was some pomp and circumstance, etc., was like, all right, we're craving it so badly that I think that's probably where a lot of these fans are also coming from. They crave the All-Star game, even though we had it last year. And no matter what it looks like, no matter if it's shoehorned into the season, I think those fans are into it anyway.
I guess. But to me, part of the All-Star game excitement is you get to the whole weekend, right? The rookie game has become something they're not going to play that this year. And I know that they're shoehorning in the skills competition and the three-point contest before the All-Star game, but it just feels like it's just kind of thrown against the chalkboard on Sunday night with everything. Come get it. I don't know. I just – maybe I'm the wrong person to ask. I just – it's hard for me to see somebody or know anybody in my life that goes, yeah, I can't wait for Sunday night. And yet the ratings are going to be there for the NBA.
Definitely. It is one of those events, and they've tried to tinker with it a million times, and we kind of always assume, well, it's dying. People don't care about it anymore. The players don't care about it anymore. And yet – it is that jewel event where you get to see the stars play against the stars. And now with the Elam ending, it's a little bit more interesting and competitive, although it's, I think, a little hard for people to follow anyway. But watching LeBron versus Giannis or watching LeBron versus whomever is still a very attractive thing for a lot of fans, especially globally, who are only in it for the stars. You know, you have got a lot of fans globally that don't care if the Bucks win a world championship, but they care about Giannis or Steph Curry or James Harden or right. LeBron, et cetera, and they get to see them all in one spot. So it's a Monday, which means we get to celebrate the inspirational stories of sports. It is time for Momentous Monday.
Smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a Momentous Monday.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand but hold your balance. I just say whatever cause there is no way you're found it.
I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
That voice, of course, is Little Mo. That's why we do this Momentous Monday, looking for inspiration around sports. Now, what could be more perfect today than Trey Mancini? Trey befriended Little Mo. And it was because they both shared in an experience. Of course, Little Mo had battled cancer his entire life. And Trey Mancini, the Orioles' first baseman, also did the same thing recently. He turns 29 next month. So he's not a young fella like Little Mo, but he also battled cancer, stage 3 colon cancer, and had to take a year away from baseball. Well, in this time for Little Mo's favorite team, the Baltimore Orioles, Trey and Mo became very close, and Trey would visit Mo consistently in the hospital. And when I had gone down to visit Mo back at the end of June, when unfortunately Mo's health had taken a turn for the worse, Trey had been there the day before. So Trey was coming by and hanging out with Mo and playing video games and lifting his spirits. And, you know, you talk to Trey, and Trey Mancini will say, well, whatever I did for Mo, Mo did 1,000 times more for me. And for all of these heartwarming messages to Mo at the end of his life and when he was on the air and when he was hosting his own show, Trey was always there as a guest. He was always one of the first guys to be booked to be the guest and to be there. He really had a very, very special bond with Mo. So Mancini came back yesterday, okay, and played first base for the Orioles in a spring training game against the Pirates and gets a standing ovation when he comes to the plate because, yes, there are fans in the building, which is awesome. And in his first at-bat, knocks a single to center field. So Trey Mancini coming back off of his battle with colon cancer. The spirit of Little Mo certainly with him. I'm sure Mo looking down, watching Trey get to the plate. And then Trey with a single yesterday was just an awesome moment. Standing ovation and a single in his first at-bat since returning. And he is definitely as connected as anybody is to Mo. So that's a pretty special thing there. And on the same day, Mo's mom, Sonzi, who you saw in my video, my Nomad video, who is just such a wonderful rock of belief and positivity, announced her engagement yesterday, which is very cool as well. She announced that on Facebook. So thought it was a good day all around, as I'm sure little Mo is smiling from above. That's your Momentous Monday.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And remember, you could watch the show at watchda.com. That's available on any device, watchda.com. Also, you could watch us on Twitch. Go to the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch to watch the simulcast each and every morning. Well, in the surprises of all surprises, the New York Knicks are the 4 seed right now in the East. Now, that has to do with not only the Knicks playing above their heads and Tom Thibodeau doing a great job with the Knicks this year, but also the rest of the Eastern Conference being so underwhelming. After the Knicks, you have a Heat team that went to the NBA Finals last year and is 500. You have a Celtics team that has gone to 3 of the last 4 Eastern Conference Finals, also 500. You have a Toronto Raptors team that won the championship 2 years ago, also 500. Those are all the teams that the Knicks are ahead of in the Eastern Conference standings. But they are right now 18-17, and Tibbs and Knicks Nation will take it. Here is Tom Thibodeau after the Knicks go back-to-back victories over the weekend.
The first unit is really finding some chemistry together, and I think they're reading the game well. They're playing off each other well. They're playing very unselfishly.
Look, it's a great story, and the Knicks have been so bad for so long that anything even marginally productive is a reason for a wild party for Knicks fans. I mean, boy, you know it's getting a little crazy when Knicks fans are tweeting out Knicks songs from 1994. Okay? Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York, go! When you're talking about 26 years later, you're playing songs for a team that went to Game 7 of the NBA Finals for 18-17. You know it's a long drought. But it's kind of like Browns fans. You know, they just had not been even marginally successful for so long that even getting to 500 was reason for a party. I would choose whoever the Knicks play in the first round to beat the Knicks. I mean, a first round 4-5 matchup of the Heat, I would take the Heat. A 4-5 matchup where the Knicks are the 5 and they take on the Celtics or something, I would take the Celtics. I think I would take the Raptors as well. And in a 3-6 or a 2-7, I certainly would take the Bucks or the Nets over the Knicks. But that's farther down the line. I think the bigger point here is that the Knicks are not an embarrassment, and Tom Thibodeau did change the culture and the expectations. Now they're not just going through the motions late in the season. And that in and of itself is obviously an enormous win for that franchise, which has barely had anything to even care about besides ping pong balls, you know, after Christmas. Here is Brandon Bean, a GM of the Bills. He was on the Chris Collinsworth podcast, although I don't think Chris was actually the host of this podcast episode, discussing that when Stephon Diggs tweeted that it was time for a change last offseason, the Bills clipped into action.
Steph put a tweet out there, just, you know, something, I don't even remember what it was, but, you know, about new beginnings or something like that. And so we checked with the Vikings, and at that point, it was a different conversation. It wasn't hell no, it was, we're not shopping him, but we'll, you know, if you really want him, you know, what would it be, and think about it. And so that conversation started maybe around 4 o'clock. We had a couple conversations in between, and around 9:30, 9:45 that night, we got it done. So, Richard, it shows you how quick these things can happen. I didn't wake up that morning thinking we were trading for Steph Diggs. Fortunately, we had done all of our background on who he was and, you know, what type of person, what type of practice player he was, how professional he was, anything like that. And not everything had been perfect for Steph in Minnesota. But we felt comfortable that bringing him into our culture, that he would be a fit. And fortunately for us, he was.
I didn't like the deal. I didn't like the deal for the Bills. I liked the deal for the Vikings because the Vikings got a couple of picks out of it and a first rounder. And then they used it on another excellent wide receiver. And I said, boy, you now have a wide receiver maybe as good as Stephon Diggs in a rookie contract. And remember, Diggs was pouting during a playoff win. Remember, in New Orleans, he is pouting of not getting the football enough. And they were beating the Saints on the road. And Diggs had just become a problem. He'd become a problem child. Now, I'm not saying you have to be thrilled to be quarterback with your quarterback being Kirk Cousins. But I did think that Diggs was not worth acquiring because he would always be unhappy. You know what? In Buffalo, he seemed really happy. He seems like he loves Josh Allen. They've got a great chemistry, a great dynamic. And so what do I know? I mean, that seems like it was a crucial final piece for the Bills to get over the hump and to win the division, win playoff games, which they did this year, go all the way to an AFC championship game. So it definitely paid dividends for the Bills. I think bigger picture, is it great for the NFL that a guy can tweet that he's unhappy, time for a change, and then automatically a team swoops in to make the trade? No, it's not great. It's not great to know that players who are under contract can simply tweet their way out of town. But in terms of a deal, this is a deal that benefited both sides. The Vikings got to clean up the frustration in their locker room. They got a wonderful rookie wide receiver out of that pick. And Stephon Diggs goes to Buffalo, and they go to an AFC championship game and becomes the number one target for Josh Allen. And here is New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell, who after the story from The Athletic late last week where Russell Wilson had spotted the Saints as one of the four teams he wouldn't mind being traded to, the mayor of New Orleans is going to try to recruit both Russell Wilson and Sierra.
I've heard the rumors now. And I want to make sure that you understand that the city of New Orleans is a place for you and your beautiful family. I'm LaToya Cantrell, mayor of the city of New Orleans, and I know, Mr. Wilson, that you will be a great addition to the New Orleans Saints. And more importantly, I can see us in that number winning that Super Bowl championship once again. And what else I can see? The Mrs. Sierra Wilson herself on that main stage during the historical Essence Festival.
So, wouldn't it be great if Russell Wilson was like, man, I don't know. I'm thinking about Sean Payton and that offense. Michael Thomas to throw to. Alvin Kamara is one of the best all-around backs in the league. You know, the Saints playing in that dome. I don't have to worry about rain and wind like up here in Seattle. The NFC South feels very winnable compared to the NFC West, which is just a beast. No, I'm vibing New Orleans. But I was kind of on the fence before the mayor got involved. But once the mayor said I should get there, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Let's ride. Sierra's like, yeah, you know, honey, I didn't really want you to go to New Orleans. But then I heard the mayor, and she made a lot of good points. And then I'm like, yeah, we should try to push for the Saints. I think out of all of the decision makers that would go into this, what the mayors think about this is probably kind of low on the pecking order. A little bit low. Oh, the mayor thinks it's a good idea? Man. Got me all ready to roll. Juices are flowing. I'm thinking about that parade because the mayor talked about it. That is your sound check. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios, as always. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. And on Saturday, with teams from the bubble and tournament seeds still up for grabs, CBS rolls into March with a college basketball triple header again. Starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Georgetown at UConn, old Big East matchup, followed by number 6 Alabama at Georgia, and a Pac-12 matchup between 19th-ranked USC and UCLA. March is here, and the road to the Final Four continues Saturday with college hoops and a triple header only on CBS. CBS, spectacular, yeah! Have fun with your marriage! It's nice that we've got an old school Big East clash now that UConn's back in the Big East. Nice that we've got Alabama, great team of the SEC, take it on Georgia. But ultimately, I only care about Winthrop right now. I really only care about the Eagles winning the SoCon so that they can get to the NCAA tournament and that Dave Friedman, Super Dave, can yell, have fun with your marriage.
Have fun with your marriage.
During a matchup against Davidson. I don't even know if Davidson's in that conference, but I'm looking. That's what I They're care not. About, Merez. That specifically is what I care about.
They're not, and I only know that from doing research yesterday from Mid-Major Mothership that Davidson is not in the same conference as Winthrop. But Davidson
They're in the A-10 now, I think.
Top in their conference, I believe. It should be noted, D.A., I dropped Dave Friedman's name in a little email yesterday trying to get Pat Kelsey, the coach of Winthrop, on the show this week. I figure if we're going to go Winthrop here, we might as well go to the next level and get the head coach on the show.
That's
so
right.
Fingers crossed. I'm hoping Winthrop gets back to us and we get Coach Kelsey on the show this week. And if we could maybe get him to say something about tacos, then we really have this thing off and running.
Your marriage!
So, Coach Kelsey, tell me about your marriage.
Well, I was just a baby.
Do you ever make tacos?
Coach Kelsey, how do you have fun with your marriage?
I can't talk.
Happy being alive, David.
Yeah, Coach. Coach, I'm so happy you're alive. Happy being alive day, as John Sally once said. How do you like your tacos in your marriage? Have fun with your marriage.
Have fun with your marriage.
I just keep picturing Super Dave going to his second fridge full of only apples and taking a big bite out of one as he comes up with the next DA drop to drop on a broadcast.
Super I like Dave. Stuffing.
Super Dave. Super Dave and Mike Pacheco as broadcast partners become such an integral part of the DA show that, you know, Super Dave has done our Olympic updates. Remember from Brazil when he was at the Olympics?
Super combined slalom.
For 2 years, he's picked college games. He's forced you into doing the SAT for the first time in your life. He has now taken our ridiculous sound bites and deliver them during college basketball games.
Good burger.
I mean, he has become inextricably linked to the DA show, probably not what he had envisioned when he set out to become a great play-by-play artist, but
he has a weird waist.
Winthrop taking on number 8 High Point. AB tells me in the Big South tournament today, even we've got Big South tournament action today on a Monday.
Wow. You better bring your raincoat.
Would yeah. explain why Winthrop hasn't answered me. I didn't realize the tournament was this week.
Yeah, sorry. Coach Kelsey has bigger fish to fry. He's actually planning for a game against the High Point Panthers. Have fun with you, Big South Tourney.
High Point, great recruiting.
Mm-hmm. I'll drop dead without those burritos.
AB has our headlines. Bogues, good morning.
Good morning. So the good news, Sean, is if they win today, their next game's not till Thursday. So you'd have a two-day window to get coach, but I don't know if he's on some kind of media blackout during the tournament. He might not do any interviews as they focus solely on this tournament.
You never know in Winthrop. That's a tough media job to have. Those press conferences are
big city. Yeah. So last week we had LeBron saying he didn't need nights off to rest. Well, he kind of got one last night. Only 24 minutes played in the 117-91 rout of the Warriors. Here's his head coach, Frank Vogel.
We want to make sure that we're managing him the best we can. He wants to be in there, and you know, you respect that about him. You know, you welcome nights like this where you can keep those minutes.
LeBron had 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists before spending the fourth quarter on the bench. The 24 minutes are a season low. Devin Booker scored 43 in the Suns' 118-99 win in Minnesota. The Heat pushed their win streak to 6, 109-99 over the Heat. The Celtics fought off the Wizards, 111-110, and Houston lost its 11th in a row with a thud, 133-84 to the Grizzlies. Things a little closer in Sacramento.
LaMelo brings it up, 10 seconds left. Hornets down 2. LaMelo to his right, back to Monk. Monk, stop and go, into the lane, up off the contact lane. Yes, plus the foul! 1.4 remaining, and Malik Monk is going to the line to put the Hornets
which
up.
Which he did for a 127-126 win. That was Sam Farbron, Hornets radio. The three-point play coming with 1.4 seconds to go. The Kings lose for the 10th time in 11 games, despite leading by 8 with 109 to play. The Raptors and Bulls didn't play last night as Toronto battles COVID. They beat Houston on Friday without head coach Nick Nurse, multiple assistants, and Pascal Siakam, but now they are off the floor, and it's unclear if they will play tomorrow and or Thursday before the All-Star break. It was a bad weekend in college hoops. 7 top 15 teams lost. Yesterday, 4th-ranked Ohio State going down at home to number 9 Iowa, 73-57. Number 8 Villanova run over at Butler, 73-61. Nova missing 25 of 27 threes. On ice, history in Chicago.
DeBrincat pulls it free. DeBrincat and Kane on a 2-on-1 break over the wing line. Kane to the left circle, pulls up, holds, fires, he scores! Number 400 for Patrick Kane! Finally, he's able to beat a goaltender with a shot, and the Hawks all celebrate with Patrick Kane, a group hug right at the Red Wing blue line.
John Weideman on Blackhawks radio in a 7-2 win over Detroit. Kane became the 100th player to score 400 goals. Colin Morikawa won the WGC Workday Championship by 3 shots over a group that included Brooks Koepka. Morikawa joins Tiger Woods as the only golfers to win a WGC event and a major before turning 25. Multiple golfers, including Morikawa, wore red shirts yesterday to honor Tiger. He thanked them in a tweet, his first public comment since last week's car accident. William Byron won the NASCAR Cup race at Homestead, Miami. And last but certainly not least, pioneering sports TV figure Irv Cross has passed away at 81. He played for the Eagles and the Rams, making 2 Pro Bowls, then became the first African-American analyst on national TV when he joined CBS. Cross eventually became the Emmy-winning host of the NFL Today. DA, back to you.
Appreciate it, Bogues. Later on in the morning, we'll talk about Irv Cross's legacy, because I grew up with Irv Cross, the NFL Today on CBS, and he has a huge impact in sports broadcasting. By the way, doing the story about the New Orleans mayor trying to recruit Russell Wilson, the mayor of Seattle actually responded on Twitter. Mayor Jenny Durkin tweeted, "I love you, Mayor, but keep your eyes off of Danger Russ Wilson. His home is Seattle. Go Hawks. And so you know, Seattle's in the market for an NBA team. Don't make me go there." Oh, no, she didn't. The Seattle mayor threatening to poach the Pelicans from New Orleans? Say it ain't so. That is a low blow.
I've heard the rumors now.
Mayor Jenny, step off. The Pelicans are New Orleans team. Zion and Ingram and Lonzo Ball. Watch out. Yikes. Things are getting dirty between the mayors. I've been absolutely beating the brakes off of the bozo known as Jack Easterby. Jack the Quack, who is running the Texans organization into the ground and a big part of the reason that DeAndre Hopkins isn't there anymore, why Deshaun Watson wants out, and why everybody around the NFL is watching the Texans franchise burn, baby, burn. But the reason Jack the Quack is effective is because Cal McNair is trusting him. And this is a story from former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels, okay? Listen to Sage discuss when he was playing in Houston his first interaction with Cal McNair, who at the time was not the owner, was the owner's son, Bob McNair's son. Here was Sage Rosenfels' first interaction with Cal McNair.
I was talking to David Carr about this, and David had just come from Cal's office, I think, to discuss something. I'm not sure what it was. And I was like, what's, and I hadn't really met Cal at this point. I'm like, what's Cal like? He's like, well, I walk into his office and he's sitting on the floor. There's no desk or anything. No way. And there's this huge TV on the wall and he's playing video games. I was like, what? What? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. And that's like my only really like behind the curtain Cal McNair story, other than that he was a really nice guy and sat, it was usually like his dad's right-hand guy, sort of, and shake hands after game. You know, you come into the game after win and Bob's there to shake your hand and then Cal's there to shake your hand and then the GM's there to shake your hand. You know, I mean, he was a part of like upper management, but I have no idea what he actually did or what his influence was.
That was from episode 40 of the Pass It Down podcast. Guys, this is who's running the Texans. A man that in his office would have no desk, no chair, would sit on the floor and play video games on a flat screen attached to the wall. This is the owner of the Texans. Do you have any doubt why Deshaun Watson doesn't trust the Texans to turn the corner here to build a winner? It's because that guy is running it, or that guy owns it, and Jack the Quack is running it. Imagine being surrounded by that, and we play the Jack the Quack stand-up. It's brutal. And yes, he's a team chaplain, and before his sermons or whatever, he does like a bad stand-up act. And it's as bad as you might imagine. Even worse, actually. This is the brain trust of the Texans. Of course Deshaun Watson wants out. Of course J.J. Watt asked for his release. Of course the team president, Jamie Root, said, I'm out of here to do more public speaking. Of course. The quarterback or one of the quarterbacks of the team went into Cal McNair's office. He was sitting on the floor playing video games without any furniture in the room. Because, of course, you want to know why he's nicknamed Tommy Boy? That's why. Really, Cal McNair is known as Tommy Boy around Houston and in the organization. Because just like Chris Farley's character in Tommy Boy, he's kind of a benevolent, somewhat quirky, kind of just son of a billionaire, and he gets to run the company. What do you want me to say here, guys? This is an owner. And if you ever wondered what the benefit of generational wealth was, here it is. If you ever wondered what it would be like if daddy or mommy came from billionaire status, here it is. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything, go to have any type of education, any type of background, any type of experience. You get to just own a billion-dollar franchise by sitting on the floor of your office and playing video games until dad passes away. I mean, here is the son of the owner of the Houston Texans having an office, of course, inside the stadium. And when the quarterback shows up to see Cal McNair, McNair has no furniture in his office and is sitting on the ground playing video games to a TV attached to the wall. And now the man is running the organization because his dad passed away, and he's letting Jack Easterby, Jack the Quack, run it into the ground. And we wonder how Cal McNair could be so quote-unquote trusting. It's because he's Tommy Boy. He just let Jack Easterby do whatever he wants because he's playing Call of Duty all day long.
Now, look, I think sitting on the floor here is my bigger issue. Can I picture John Mara playing Tomb Raider? No, I cannot. Can I picture Jerry Jones locked into a game of Grand Theft Auto? Probably not. But I don't necessarily think there's something wrong with an NFL owner playing a video game in the office. I mean, some play is allowed not work. The problem I have is have a desk and act like you do some sort of work while the TV's there. And if you want to flip on your PlayStation, your Xbox controller every once in a while, I actually wouldn't have an issue with that. But when you give the impression that there's no furniture, which means all you're doing is playing video games, and you're sitting on the bare floor. I mean, I guess the only thing worse would have been finding out he had a beanbag chair. That would have been a problem. But I think an NFL owner can play video games. You just need to have a desk to accomplish real work.
I'm really not okay with an NFL owner or an NFL executive playing video games at the office. There is so much to do. There's so much to do.
I mean, every day, every hour, so much to do. You can't check in on a game of Madden. You're telling me Mark Cuban's never played video games?
Why? Well, number one, Mark Cuban basically invented video games. I mean, Mark Cuban is like one of the most technologically advanced minds of our generation. So if Mark Cuban is playing video games, it is probably for some type of reason professionally. When Cal McNair does it, it's just to play video games. It's just to have fun.
So your point is you could play video games, but you have to play it at home. You can't play it at the office.
Totally, yes. If Cal McNair is playing video games at home, that's totally fine. I stopped playing video games at like 30 years old. But I get it. You know, people that are much older than me still play them, and I have no problem with that. My friends still play them. But do it at home. You can't do it at work.
You think Mark Davis has ever gotten into a little Guitar Hero in between discussing Derek Carr's contract?
It's humiliating. And let me tell you something else. I even think it's humiliating when I'm on the subway and there's somebody next to me playing video games on their phone, and they're like totally into it, and they're like 50 years old.
Oh, timeout. You just this weekend put up a pink inner tube and talked about how much you love snow tubing on Instagram, but somebody can't play a little, basically Nintendo Switch on the subway?
All right, maybe that's hypocritical. I just feel like when you're totally locked into Candy Crush for the sixth hour of the subway and you're an adult. But let me tell you, look, guys, let's talk about our own experience here with this. The executive producer of Tiki and Tierney, Mike Samter, religiously plays one of those Marvel superhero video games on his phone at work. Religiously. I mean, we all know what board he's on when we were back at the office every single day. I think he plays as Iron Man or something like that. I mean, he's playing that every single day. Do we think that's a great look if our boss was doing that?
Well, if I guess Dave Marinek or Mark Chernoff wanted to play whatever, NHL 2K4.
It would be a bad look, guys. We know it.
I don't know. I think we would say they're here early. They leave late. They're allowed a little downtime. Samter's there for 6 hours, and four of them are spent playing whatever handheld game. Yeah, you're right. It's a bad look.
We walked into our boss's office, okay? And we're like, hey, you know, DA's equipment wasn't working today, or the reads didn't get done on time, or we need to get this shift covered. And we walk into the office, and our boss is playing as Iron Man in a video game. What? We would be like, what the hell is going on around here?
Hey, turn off through that.
You're right, but the difference is the bosses we have desks and accomplish real work. Cal McNair, in this case, had no desk, and the only thing he had was a video game console, so we know he's not doing work.
Don't get me wrong. I think the video game part of it is not as impossible to imagine as sitting on the floor, because let me just give you this. Let's delve into this. Cal McNair is on the floor playing video games in his office. How is he sitting? Is he sitting Indian style, cross-legged?
Crisscross apple.
Is he sitting with his legs out to the side like a Playboy playmate? Or Is he sitting on his knees?
No. See, when I do the floor video game, I'm on my rump, and I prop my knees up, if you will. So I'm kind of like leaned back a little bit. Okay. And I think that's the most comforting video game on the floor situation. But again, you're the owner of the Texans, or at least at the time, the son of the owner of the Texans. My guess is you can afford the video game chair. Everybody gets their 14-year-old.
You can text anybody in the organization, including Sage Rosenfels, and within 30 seconds have somebody's office chair or desk chair at your disposal.
Maybe he was waiting for a delivery that day.
He could have been. That's something that is possible. That he's waiting for the delivery of office equipment, and he's going to have some nice ergonomic desk that he stands up at, et cetera. So he's waiting for the whole thing to come in. But you can't sit on the floor. There is no excuse to sit on the floor. I'm picturing him cross-legged Indian style, which is just totally humiliating because he's a grown adult sitting Indian style, staring up at a wall.
And who can sit on the floor this day and age for too long before you get the pins and needles and you can't walk? I did this the other day. I was sitting on the floor because my daughter wanted to climb all over me. I was on the floor 10 minutes. I got up. I couldn't walk for 40 minutes without the shooting pain in my leg. Now, maybe that's me being fat and out of shape. I don't think Cal McNair's hitting the treadmill that much. Who can sit that long on the floor? Your limbs go numb. It's a bad scene.
It tells you everything you need to know about Cal McNair and why he's nicknamed Tommy Boy. He is nicknamed Tommy Boy around the office and in Houston because he's like this big galoot that's kind of, you know, he's kind of friendly. He plays video games in the office, but he's a big kid. And that's how Jack the Quack has manipulated his brain into oatmeal to seize control of the organization.
But the problem is Tommy Boy saved Callahan Auto Parts when all was said and done. Cal McNair's letting Watson go.
That's fair. That's fair. This is why Deshaun Watson wants out, is because he probably walked into the office and saw his owner playing video games by sitting on the floor. And it was like, we can't win a Super Bowl here. J.J. Watt's running for the hills. Jamie Reeves, the president, is out of there. They all want out because this guy's a bozo.
I saw Andrew Siciliano and Ian Rappaport mention this, and it is worth mentioning. Remember, that Hard Knocks the Texans did. All J.J. Watt does is nap all the time. They followed him around. He has a mattress somewhere separate. So, look, I mean, what's worse? You're an employee, and all you want to do is walk around taking naps around the facility. I think that's worse than playing video games. So we'll leave Watt out of this.
But J.J. Watt was a 3-time defensive player of the year. I mean, if he wants a nap, he can nap.
Cal McNair's rich. If he wants to play Tomb Raider, he should be able to play Tomb Raider.
Cal McNair's just playing Call of Duty for the sixth hour. Now, Bogus tells me there could be somebody at our office on the floor above us that has no desk and sits on the floor. Bogus, is this true?
I mean, when was the last time we were in the building? More than a year ago. But yeah, I was up on the big floor talking to one of the big bosses, and there is a room, an office, and we know that they're four glass walls basically, and there's nothing in the office. There's stuff on the walls. There's kind of like a big, I don't know what the right word is, almost like a Santa Fe style, like Aztec-y looky rug, if I remember correctly, like on the floor. And I believe it's a woman. I don't remember her name or her title, but she's clearly important because she's on the 11th floor, and her office is two doors down from Jeff Sottolano, who is like our big boss, and she, whatever reason, like does her business, her work on the floor. It's sitting, you know, crisscross applesauce with her laptop and her phone, but there's no desk, there's no chair, there's nothing like that.
No. This can't be a thing.
Well, she's really important. I just want to say I think that's a great look for her.
Me too. Sounds great.
I'm going to copy that style.
Mraz, when you say you feel like you could be more productive by wearing sweatpants, this is the evolution of this thought. When you let people just be as comfortable as they want to be, they start taking advantage of it. They start sitting on floors. You say you want sweatpants. She says, I want to sit on the floor with my laptop on a bearskin rug. And these are issues in the workplace. You got to be professional.
I agree with that, because the thing is, when you sit on the floor, the level part of this, like a chair at least has an up back part. When you sit on the floor, all it takes is one time laying down. You're out like a light for 2 hours, just like that. So I do think it lends yourself to fall asleep more. Sweatpants, at least if I'm up on a chair, I'm really not going to pass out unless I'm like a grizzly bear. Now, again, not to get too far off course here, I haven't worn jeans to work in about a year.
I feel like I've been more productive than ever, so I think my sweatpant thing might be validated this year, but sitting on a floor is a whole new level.
When you say you haven't worn jeans to work in a year, it's because you haven't gone to work in a year.
Well, I'm going to work. I have set up. I mean, my home office is work. I walk down to work every day. I just don't wear jeans because I am the boss of my office.
That is so misleading. I haven't worn jeans to work. You...
What do we do every morning? Do we not go to work?
Work off a hockey table.
It's an air hockey table.
You have Papa Shot 6 feet away from you.
I folded it down. I'm
going
to bring it outside.
Going to work.
But that is work. Like, we're not working. We are going to work. We're just not commuting to our usual office. I walk downstairs every day. I go to work.
I love the idea that in Mraz's head, he has proven how disciplined he is by showing his production at home and not wearing jeans. I'm not even wearing jeans at work anymore, guys. Mraz, you can wear nothing. You could go commando and you would quote-unquote be at work. Does that show
I may be commando right now. You're right. No, I still
went
to work.
Don't stand up.
I still went to work. I understand your point. We didn't travel into the actual office. Well, what am I doing? I'm twiddling my thumbs. No, we're working.
We're working, but you didn't go to work.
But it's the new
anywhere.
No, it's the new location for work. It's different. The location happens to reside in the same place I'm living. It's like buying an apartment above the 10th floor of our building. That's what
and if you did that, you'd wear jeans down the two floors to come to the studio and be around other people.
I wouldn't if somebody said
you would not come down in your PJs with your bowl of cereal. Oh. Morning, guys.
I get out of my PJs. I change into skinny sweats. That's what I do. So at least I try to class it up a little bit around this place.
It's not cereal. It's waffles.
Andrew Bogut has our headline at the Sporting. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
Guys, the Boston Celtics could have lost again yesterday in Washington, but they didn't. Thanks mostly to Jason Tatum.
10 seconds to go. Return to Tatum against Beal on the left wing. Tatum spins, goes quick at the baseline, flips it up, and in! With 4.7 to go, the Celtics grab the lead. Timeout, Scott
Brooks. That's Sean Grandy on Celtics Radio. Tatum scoring twice in the final 15 seconds. 31 points total, but Boston didn't win 111-110 until Bradley Beal's miss at the buzzer. Tatum super excited after the win.
We made some big plays, got some key stops. And we just stuck with it. And, you know, it turned in our favor. And hopefully we can continue to build on this.
The Celtics won last night without Jaylen Brown on a sore knee. Marcus Smart remains out with his calf injury. The Rocket losing streak hit 11 with a 133-84 home loss to the Grizzlies. 49 points, the largest win in Memphis/Vancouver history. The Lakers steamrolled the Warriors 117-91. The Suns stayed hot in Minnesota 118-99 with Devin Booker scoring 43. The Heat beat the Hawks 109-99 for a six-game win streak. The Hornets stole a 127-126 win in Sacramento, and the Knicks took care of the Pistons 109-90. Last night's Raptors-Bulls game postponed because of Toronto's COVID issues. The Raptors have two games left before the All-Star break. Michigan lands Texas Tech QB Alan Bowman. He's a grad transfer, so he can play right away this fall. Bowman threw for 1,600 yards, 10 touchdowns, 7 picks last season. The Wolverines have lost Joe Milton and Dylan McCaffrey to transfer this winter. Former LSU tight end Eric Gilbert has decommitted from Florida and is back in the transfer portal. In the NHL last night, Chicago took care of Detroit 7-2 with Patrick Kane scoring the 400th goal of his career. Colin Morikawa with a three-shot win at the WGC Workday Championship. He and many others wore a red shirt to honor Tiger Woods. He tweeted his thanks last night, his first public comment since last week's crash. And William Byron won the NASCAR Cup race at Homestead, Miami. And it's Monday, so Stunned is back.
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, our sweet Sean has created a few excuses to not learn throughout his life. Had he only asked about the shower situation at Duke, not assumed it was communal showers, he could have been a lawyer or a businessman by now. But this one, though, might be a valid reason to stay away from some books. The main library at Michigan's Ann Arbor campus was closed recently after three venomous spiders were found in a basement storage area. The first of the Mediterranean recluse spider was found on a glue trap. Two others were then found after that. Now, a university spokesperson does say the library was closed more because of a miscommunication, not because of the need to eradicate the spiders. No student was ever in danger, only someone who might have been down in the basement in a crawl space. But still, a bite from one of these bad boys can be as harmless as skin irritation or as serious as tissue death. So you definitely do not want to get bitten by one, especially at the cost of doing some learning at the Michigan Library.
The tissue death reference is a weird one. I've never heard it put that way. This means that you might not die, but your body tissue that it gets bit by could die, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't think it means it's a bite is fatal, but it just means that it could cause your tissue to wither away.
Right, and depending on where that is, that could lead to a nasty surgery and a scar and missing tissue and maybe a body part not working correctly.
Ah. This is pretty terrifying. The Mediterranean recluse hitchhikes with people throughout the world and has been found in 22 different states. They like caves, basements, boiler rooms. And so imagine coming back from the Mediterranean and having a spider on you, and it's not looking to bite you right away. It's looking to hitchhike, and it's looking to just get away. Now, I would want to stay in the Mediterranean versus going to Ann Arbor, but it did the reverse commute there. It gets to Ann Arbor, and then it's like, okay, I got a new place, a new pet. This is my Airbnb, University of Michigan Library. I'm going to hang out here. That's pretty terrifying to know that it could just, like, hop along for a ride with you and travel across the globe.
Yeah, I think this is Harbaugh's best job at recruiting since he got to Michigan to bring a spider from the Mediterranean over. I would just like to know what these spiders are adding to the ecosystem, as you will, because it's very easy to say, oh, we're going to, you know, kill this deadly animal. It's going to kill all your tissue. But then somehow you'll find out that they eat the hippopotamus scraps that force pollen to go up here and this, that, and the other thing. You know, like everything's connected to the ecosystem. Can't we just, what could they possibly be providing? Can we just wipe these things and find a way to destroy them all so our tissue doesn't die?
Yeah, these three Mediterranean recluse spiders left the Mediterranean, and now suddenly there's like a horde of Bengal tigers that perished because they left, and there's like 17 different things that happened that they didn't keep in check. Like the moths went crazy or the birds went crazy. And
it makes no sense.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Yesterday in spring training, it took 50 pitches in the first inning to record two outs for the Philadelphia Phillies. Spring training, which led to Philly fans booing on February 28th already. So we ask you guys, is that awesome or disturbing? 58% of you said it's awesome. The projections, Pecota's projections, Bill Pecota, projects the Phillies to win 83 games this upcoming season. Spring training tickets began at $28. Now, how about this? The last time the Phillies made the playoffs, 2011. That's the last time the Phillies had a winning season. How crazy is it that the Phillies have gone now a decade? This year will be 10 full years since they last made the playoffs or even had a winning season. Whoa! Rough times. No wonder they're booing in Philadelphia. That's your advanced analytics. So a lot went down this morning here on the show. Of course, everybody being back together on a Monday morning leads to such discussions. And that included Cal McNair, the son of Bob McNair, who founded the Texans. Sage Rosenfels, former quarterback of the Texans, telling a story the other day where he walked into Cal McNair's office when he was a member of the Texans a couple of years ago. And found Cal McNair, no furniture in his office, sitting on the ground playing video games. What's the more disturbing part of that image? That the owner's son is in his office playing video games during business hours, or that he's sitting on the floor to do it. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I haven't worn jeans to work in about a year. I feel like I've been more productive than ever, so I think my sweatpant thing might be validated this year, but sitting on a floor is a whole new level.
When you say you haven't worn jeans to work in a year, it's because you haven't gone to work in a year.
Well, I'm going to work. I have set up, my home office is work. I walk down to work every day. I just don't wear jeans because I am the boss of my office.
That is so misleading. I haven't worn jeans to work. You
again with the sweatpants.
I'm comfortable.
What do we do, everyone? Do we not go to work?
Work off a hockey table.
It's an air hockey table.
You have Papa Shot 6 feet away from you.
I folded
That's
it down. I'm
going
to bring it outside.
To work.
But that is work. Like, we're not working. We are going to work. We're just not commuting to our usual office.
He's getting phone calls,
I walk downstairs every day. I go to work.
I love the idea that in Mraz's head, he has proven how disciplined he is by showing his production at home and not wearing jeans. I'm not even wearing jeans at work anymore, guys. Mraz, you can wear nothing. You could go commando and you would quote unquote be at work. Does that show
I may be commando right now. You're right. No, I still went to work.
Don't stand up.
You're telling the world I give up. I can't compete in normal society. I'm miserable, so I might as well be comfortable.
I still went to work. I understand your point. We didn't travel into the actual office. Well, what am I doing? I'm twiddling my thumbs. No, we're working.
We're working, but you didn't go to work. You didn't go anywhere.
No, it's the new location for work. It's different. The location happens to reside in the same place I'm living. It's like buying an apartment above the 10th floor of our building.
Give me the phone.
I'm in the middle of a conversation.
Get off the phone.
That's what
and if you did
now.
That, you'd wear jeans down the two floors to come to the studio and be around other people.
I wouldn't. If somebody said
you would not come down in your PJs with your bowl of cereal. Oh. Morning, guys.
I get out of my PJs. I change into skinny sweats. That's what I do. So at least I try to class it up a little bit around this place.
It's not cereal. It's waffles.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Now I'm really enamored by the idea of Mraz renting an apartment above the CBS Sports Radio studios and just waltzing through the newsroom with his bowl of cereal. Hey, guys, what are you guys up to? Anybody want to watch the Rangers game with me upstairs? Come on. I got a DiGiorno's in the oven. Anybody?
You guys aren't working.
So now I'm eating cereal before the DiGiorno's. Okay.
Yes. Jacques Alonso's there. He's like, oh. Mraz, I got to cut up this audio, man. I can't come up again. I can't come up. Maybe later. Maybe later, Mraz. You got any BLs up there? Any Bud Lights? Got any BLs? Shep crashes just outside your door.
Oh.
He sleeps on the floor outside of your apartment. You just have to give him a warm plate of milk like a stray cat. You just push it out the door.
Ack would be knocking on my door every 10 minutes. Singing.
Hey, Chief, want to watch the Nets game with me? Knicks Nets tonight.
You want some Jock Torres?
You living in like a treehouse or a clubhouse above the building is just the best idea ever.
Yeah, I'd actually help pay for that.
Oh. No Schwartz is allowed in our club.
Yeah, I'd be on the air for 24 straight hours during a snowstorm, though. They would take advantage.
Oh, there's no question. You'd be hosting, producing, running the board on like four straight shifts.
Hour number 33 on the radio show.
So speaking of the Schwartz clan, it sounds like we need a deep dive tomorrow on this. And the beat reporter, the Brian Windhorst of the Schwartz beat, which is Mraz, has uncovered some real gems from over the weekend. So I think tomorrow it deserves a deep dive. Is there enough meat on the bone there for that tomorrow?
There
Mraz?
Is always enough meat on the bone.
I think we'll call the segment Meat on the Bone. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Thanks to the crew also for handling the technical glitches early with aplomb. We will see you tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.